Hello, my friends. You're listening to Ethereal Odyssey, the podcast that interviews viewers like you about their psychedelic experiences, proving once and for all how different yet similar we all can be.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Or whenever you decide to tune into this episode. I have got such a great interview for you. Her name is Annie. She's a spiritual artist, reader, healer. I came into contact with her through a mutual friend who's also a reader and an astrologist. I don't want to like call out any specifics, but yeah, just to keep her anonymity, hopefully I'm saying that correctly. we just became Instagram friends, and I don't know, I just vibe really well with her, and it felt like the right time to be able to interview her. And now that Venus is in Pisces, I feel like this conversation is more relevant now than ever, especially the side tangents we end up getting into about love and relationships with others. So enjoy.
Hey, Annie, how's it going?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. All right, let's just dive right in. Do you want to just tell a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Annie. I'm a lot of things, I guess. I'm an artist. I'm into spirituality. I read tarot, Reiki practitioner, just overall weirdo, I guess.
I love it. So what did you know about psychedelics before you like dove in?
I think a lot of us have had like DARE classes and a lot of the kind of scared straight mentality that, you know, they push when we're younger. So as a kid, that's kind of what you get. But I think as I was older, I don't know, I was really into like a lot of like, I don't know, I just got into like a lot of weird, like, whether it was just like musicians or bands or weird artists. And a lot of times that kind of comes with the territory is drug use, and it's not all good, but I think some of it can be mind opening and all that. So I don't know. There's definitely like that kind of, like I said, scared straight and like just really extreme, like people jumping out of windows and crazy shit like that. But I didn't really know a lot. And I don't know. I think it is kind of funny how it's kind of clumped in with like some really heavy, terrible drugs and all that. When you're a kid, that's what you're told. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't until probably like later in high school or, like my early 20s when I really knew people and friends who were like getting into psychedelics.
Okay. And so like, what was your like first introduction? Like, what was your first experience like?
It's actually with one of my ex-boyfriend at the time. It's funny, even just before you asked me about this, I was kind of reminiscing about like my first trip and then just, you know, when I was first introduced. And I think at the time, I mean, I would start to smoke weed. So once, I think that's kind of like, once you start that, you're a little bit more open to certain things. Mm-hmm. And my first trip was with my ex, and it was his brother and his friend. And it was just, I think it was summertime.
Oh, you've broken up. We're going to wait for a second to see if it comes back. Are you still there, Annie?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. I forgot to warn you that sometimes if the screen goes black, like, the audio will stop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
I always forget to tell guests about that.
That's okay. I'll just keep an eye on it then and hold the phone.
Okay.
I don't know what you heard last, but...
The last I heard was you were with your ex-boyfriend and his brother and friends.
Yeah. So it was summertime. We actually, I think we had a slip and slide. I actually had to look at an old journal to remember the details, but I thought we were swimming, but I knew it was hot and it was summertime. I don't really remember the slip and slide, honestly. I just remember, I probably didn't feel it until afterwards. But yeah, I just remember I think at the time I was also like used to being one of the only girls with my boyfriend and his friends. And we were, you know, having a good time and laughing, but I do remember going kind of separate from them, going to the front yard of the house and like being like enamored by a tree and being like, oh my God, this is amazing. It was pretty fun and lighthearted, and you know, I definitely had that kind of connection to nature and like realization, I guess, that mm-hmm. has, it's funny because you think of it as, especially at the time, just doing it was just kind of for fun with my boyfriend, and looking back at it, like, the time that I went by myself and just took some space, like, to kind of have that realization of like, oh, nature and this deeper connection, like, I don't know, maybe just getting away from them and being on my own, I realized that more. But yeah, but it was pretty lighthearted and fun.
Isn't that funny? Like, it's kind of like that theme that's a tale as old as time, is like getting away from, like, when you finally have the opportunity to get away from other people's influences, you can kind of see things for what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think even just the influence of, I mean, looking back, it's like, they were just like goofy guys just joking around all the time, which was fun, but like, to kind of get away from that, just, I don't know if it's like masculinity or what, like if it was different, if I was tripping with like another girl or something, if it would be different, but to kind of like, oh, like take a step and I don't know, look at things differently, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty, I do remember that like specifically being like, wow, this tree.
Would you say you had like a connection to the natural world before this, or do you feel like this just sort of like enhanced that? Are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a way to like not? I'm sorry.
No, I don't want to. I'm not sure. So for screen. Me, I just kind of tap the screen every couple of minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'll, maybe I'll do that. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
You asked if I had like a natural or a, you know, connection to the natural world. When I was about 14, I checked out a book on, it was like natural witchcraft, which I think I was just going through a phase of like, I remember I had like a book on Buddhism and like, you know, like I was kind of searching and like looking for different beliefs and just kind of doing some self-discovery. So I had that kind of like belief and basis, but I think by the time that I had my first trip, I was kind of not so much into the spirituality as I was, I don't know, caught up in life, boyfriends and, you know, being young and dumb, but so I did have that like basis, and that's why I think that stood out to me, was like that experience with the tree. If I didn't have that connections, I think I wouldn't have, you know, felt kind of drawn to go out on my own and to, you know, get into nature. So I did have a you know, a I kind of was set in some spirituality and I was familiar with my beliefs, but I think that kind of just popped out of nowhere. And like, especially in like more of that was kind of more of a social setting at the time rather than, you know, I was looking just to have fun, not, you know, not for any big experience, I don't think. So.
Right. So like how long was it before like your next like trip?
I'm thinking, I was actually looking and trying to figure that out exactly. I think, I don't know if it was in between, but I think the following like fall or winter, I know for sure. So maybe, you know, I don't think anytime the rest of that summer, but I know after that, and that was on mushrooms. So again, I think that following winter, I remember the same boyfriend and some friends doing it in our friend's apartment, and it was winter time and the snow was really beautiful. I remember that.
Oh yeah, that's right. I didn't even ask like what your first time was on even.
Yeah. Yeah, that was mushrooms.
Okay.
And it was very like it was a very little I was trying to remember. I'm like, I'm terrible with like remembering dosage and everything. So it wasn't that much I remember for the first time, but yeah.
So was the experience pretty like similar or was it like different?
Yeah, it was different because and I it's funny, you know, now I kind of would have because I think I'm the type of person also when I'm interested in something and you know, especially just from what you've seen, because there's always like movies and things like that where people are tripping, they're like, whoa, you know, and like people freaking out. And I mean, the first time when we were just outside in summer, you know, that was perfect. I think perfect way to introduce myself to that. But the second time was actually it was the same boyfriend and another mutual friend at his apartment in the city of Chicago, and it was snowing. So it was a pretty high rise. Like he had a pretty nice apartment. And it was like a high rise snowing, and there was all these windows. And I was kind of like, ah. At first I was like, I hope I don't feel like, you know, claustrophobic or trapped, but it actually went pretty well. And I remember just like being really like just looking out the window and being really like thinking how cool it was. And I think me and my boyfriend were like I don't know, we were like looking at each other under a blanket and like our faces were like cracking each other up. I don't know, it was goofy. But yeah, it
Oh,
was a pretty good experience.
okay. Do you have any like recurring themes or symbols that come up during your trips?
I think back then I didn't really, especially like I said, it wasn't really, I don't think I was looking for anything like that, or I wasn't really in tune spiritually as much. So I never really, when I like reminisce back on my earlier trips, I don't really think of anything in specific that like pops out, just besides this draw to nature, I guess. But now, like, you know, as I've got, and I that was, let's see, I wrote down, I was like in my early 20s. That was when I first, my first trip. Yeah, I was like 21, or no, I was 20, 20 years old. And I mean, it said like, I looking at my little diary entry from back then. It said I would like loved looking at the clouds and we were just hanging out. But yeah, as far as like themes, I think it's hard to say because I think in like my daily life as like a spiritual person, I'm always looking for little signs. But with psychedelics, I feel like I definitely notice, I don't know, I notice more. That could just be how I've, you know, grown though. But yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of it just kind of like nature based and like I'll see like a cloud that looks like a face, or I'll look, I feel like I see like if I look at a tree or like, you know, plants, I don't know, I get like human quality or characteristics out of it. But yeah, I don't know. it's kind of hard to say because back then it was like, eh, whatever. There's definitely a draw towards nature, but I don't know if I saw specific like themes or anything.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. What would you say was your like most significant trip?
It's hard to. I feel like it's. I think there's been. I've had some trips that it's like a new lesson every time. So it's kind of hard to pick just one. I actually in October had my first really bad trip, which was interesting. And it was at the time it was not good, but I kind of look at it as just like, okay, there's a reason that I south in that way. And that, you know, everything kind of, it has its purpose, even though at the time I'm like, oh my God, this sucks. yeah. And it was funny. It was at a Halloween party and I always wanted to trip at a Halloween party. Cause I thought I love Halloween and the costumes and the colors. And it was literally like a horror story. I'm like, this is,
oh, are you still there?
I did it again. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay. So this Halloween party was like a horror story for you?
Yeah, it was. And I was like, that's what I asked for. I'm like, no wonder. You know, because I was like, oh, that would be cool to trip on Halloween at a party. And I'm like, yeah, that was a horror movie in my head.
Yeah, as soon as you said like tripping on Halloween, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm like, seemed like a good idea at the time, maybe, or I don't know. I think it was just, and I think that really says a lot with like set and setting. Like, mm-hmm. I've been aware of that for a while, but I think at the time I was just, I don't know, I just thought I was better than I expected and I just did not go well.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's kind of something that people do need to take like a grain of salt with, is that like you sometimes you won't really know what's gonna like trigger you. I mean, it's one thing to be mindful, but like I guess another good tool is to, I don't know if it's pretentious to say, but like knowing how to turn the quote unquote bad trip around.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it also, I mean, you could be in a place where maybe it's not comfortable. And like, if you have a friend, it's like, you're in it together and like, okay, we're not feeling this. Like, let's buddy up and, mm-hmm. you know, change the trip for ourselves. And I think I mean, my friend who also was tripping was hosting. So it was, mm-hmm. she's kind of preoccupied with doing other things. And I kind of, I'm like, I should have had a little buddy or trip sitter. And I was not smart about it, but I'm not going to beat myself up. I learned some good lessons from it.
Right. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any like significant moments that like stick with you or visuals or anything like that?
You know, I have, like I said, there's always this like nature based, like I'm drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually going to bring this up. It's kind of different. And I don't know if it's, some people consider it psychedelic and some don't. I've actually done some ketamine therapy for depression and anxiety.
yeah.
So it's like, yeah, an anesthetic and dissociative, but I think the dissociative definitely makes it kind of trippy and considered psychedelic. So, yeah, with that, it was interesting. I was actually kind of in a rut and I don't know why. I'm not really usually the type to do this, but I downloaded one of those like games where it's like kind of like farming, or you remember those like farming games that were,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, they were on like MySpace or Facebook. it was weird. I got into that and I had you know, a session. And it was almost like I saw, you know, this dissociative effect in the world in like kind of that aspect where you're kind of looking down on the earth and like the plots of land or whatever. It was interesting. It was kind of just, yeah, definitely like zooming out feeling, but again, like very nature-based, I guess. It's always something with that.
So like, do you mind if I ask a few mm-hmm. more questions about it? Okay.
Oops, sorry.
So,
yeah, of course.
Like these ketamine sessions, were they in mm-hmm. like an actual clinical setting?
Yes, they were. So I went into a place and get kind of like this comfy chair and an eye mask, and it's like through an IV. It's kind of funny because I am not good with like IVs. I don't know why. It's like a phobic thing for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, so that kind of adds some anxiety, but yeah, it's, I mean, I've battled depression, anxiety for a long time, and I feel like I've tried everything under the sun. So mm-hmm. I know some people are weary about it, and there's definitely like stigmas, and I don't think it helps with like, well, Joe Rogan, like his horse, whatever, like, horse tranquilizer. I don't know. Like there's definitely some things where it's like, oh man, it doesn't come off great, but I think there's definitely that, and psychedelics in general, microdosing, like, I think that's kind of the new frontier with like mental health for sure. Like that's definitely different than anything I've ever experienced. And I feel like it does give people hope, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's different. And I know not everyone's going to be into it, but I guess I'm an adventurous, weird person. And it's definitely, I mean, it definitely has some positivity to it and some, you know, hope, I guess.
Yeah. And like, honestly, I think that's interesting, like points that you brought up about how like, you're not normally one to go seek out like different types of therapies like that, or like the fact that you don't even, you know, like it's anxiety inducing in itself just to get an IVs. But like, yeah. Even after like all of those, like, potential roadblocks that could have just turned you off completely, you were still able to like persevere through that, you know, and
yeah,
be able to access those like experiences. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's important. I mean, there's definitely some fears, and it can be uncomfortable with something like an IV or mm-hmm. I mean, even psychedelics, like I kind of have a theory with like people, and I mean, this could even be attributed to weed. Like when people are, you know, so like against it or so fearful, I think it kind of just shows like, hey, you're being shown something that is uncomfortable mm-hmm. and you're being shown something that, you know, you might have to overcome, but I think you get rewarded in the end. You get, you know, what you need, the lesson or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I thought I had like
okay.
a place that I was like going to after this. Yeah, so like what do psychedelics like play, like what role do they play in your life right now, versus like what does your spirituality look like now?
I think it's just, I mean, depending on what I'm taking, I kind of approach it with, you know, asking whether it is kind of like more plant medicine, like mushrooms is, I've kind of think of it as like approaching even like a Native American standpoint where you kind of talk to the plant and ask the plant, you know, whether it's permission or what they have to teach you, you know, which I think can be even just for, you know, chemical, you know, non-natural substance as well. But mm-hmm. I think now I go into it with, you know, what lessons do I have to learn, or what, you know, what messages can be sent, because you know, I like I said earlier, like I do this in my everyday sober life where, you know, I'll be driving and I see an animal and I'm like, okay, that's someone telling me something, you know, like I know sometimes it's like, oh yeah, it's just a deer or whatever, you know, but I don't know. I like to think that there's no coincidences in this world. So when we're tripping, we're more open to, you know, seeing those things, and those aren't coincidences. So I listened to one of your episodes about divination and like being under the influence of things. Mm-hmm. And I really loved that topic that you brought up. That was really interesting because I've thought, like, I've had similar thoughts, like, okay, how's this gonna affect, you know, readings, if it's professional or just for a friend. And I actually, earlier in the summer, this past summer, I actually like did try to, I took some mushrooms and tried to read my own cards and runes and kind of, it was weird. It was very aligned. Yeah, it was different, but I don't know. I look at psychedelics now as a tool, and it's, you know, they're not always accessible. That's the one thing I feel like I'm hoping in the future more people have more accessibility. But when they are accessible, I think of that as like a gift, and that's an opportunity to explore something further. So I'm grateful when I do have the chance to partake, but I've also learned my lesson on set and setting and if I'm comfortable enough.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like the same thing could be said with like tarot readings in themselves, you know, like if it feels like the right time, but like also don't force it just because you feel like you want an answer to something. Mm-hmm. And then also shoot, what was the previous point I was gonna make? Let me think. Hold on 1 second. It's like on the tip of my tongue. It's okay. Maybe we can circle back around.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe it's just like this idea that like yes. So using, using psychedelics as a tool, but also using tarot as a tool. Like, mm-hmm. It's funny because when I first started reading and people found out that I did, or, you know, whatever, people that don't know a lot about tarot just assume, you know, it's just this, you know, you see it in movies and it's mm-hmm. this eccentric person just telling you all this shit to like swindle you out of money and or like just straight telling you the definite future. And you know, it's funny because whenever people ask me for a reading, I sit down with them and I give this little spiel about like, you know, I could tell you exactly what's going to happen in the next like day, year, months, whatever. Mm-hmm. I could tell you exactly where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, whatever. Like, I could do that, but what would be the point? Like, mm-hmm. if you already know, if you already know, like, what the end goal is in this life or dimension or whatever you want to call it, then what's the point of already knowing what's going to happen? You know, mm-hmm. it's not going to help you in this spiralic journey that you're going to need to, you know, fail at a bunch of things to be open to some random opportunity that you never would have thought would have been possible until like the right moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think, and I mean, again, that's kind of that fortune teller Miss Cleo vibes where it's like, you know, like this is set in stone and I know all and give me your money. Like, and that's what I'm like, oh, it's cringy, and like trying to get away from that because, I mean, we all have free will and that has to take into account for. And especially I think things like I really dislike doing like love readings because, you know, or even there's, you know, people talk about like love spells, like you can't force someone against their will to love someone, you know, like that's just one, it's unethical, and two, it's impossible, you know, like that's, you know, there are things that can help romance along the way, I guess, but you know, I don't know. Stuff like that, I'm not really a fan of reading for, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. Like, yeah, most of the time when people ask me for readings about, like, their love life, especially when it comes to, like, a connection in particular, I generally do try to make the reading more about the client versus the client's relationship. And I just am like focusing on more like, I feel like you need to see what's going on for you. And then if that like relationship pops up in it, then yes, like maybe it's something we can address. And I mean, it's not like, for sure, 100% of the time, like there's definitely times where, you know, if they're just needing a little bit of clarity, like, let's say, you know, what is like the bridge that's going to like either, I don't know, let's say somebody is with a partner and they're like, how can I strengthen communication or like basically like work on like developing this bridge between the two, or is it time to go? I feel like that's a bit more like of the exception I would go for instead of just, you know, is this person meant for me?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I totally agree. And I think because I feel like stuff like love and, you know, all that, it's beyond our reach to be able to manipulate something like that, whether you're an amazing reader or not. Like that's just not, I don't know, not aligned in like the manipulation, and people still do try to manipulate, but I kind of have a similar approach. Like I kind of tend to look at like how they are like self-love, like how they're self-loving themselves and their own self-esteem, because that definitely has an effect on, you know, your relationships if you're feeling good, you know. So it's, yeah, it's different for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I mean, just to kind of piggyback on the idea of like love or whatever, like, I don't know if you've ever seen the Before trilogy. I think the first one is Before Sunrise, and there's like Before Sunset, Before Midnight. Okay. I've been mildly obsessed with these movies within the last like few weeks, and I'm not really sure why exactly. Basically the concept is that the first movie, they all take up, the first movie takes place in 1994. The next one is 9 years later. And then 9 years after that is the third. Well, the whole idea of this movie is that it's a, Ethan Hawke is like the main character. I can't remember the female actress. Something Delphi. Anyways, so this, like these people, they meet on a train, and it's just like an American man and a French woman, and they just chat it up, and they're like, oh man, like this is my stop. I have to get off. You know, like I wish we could have kept talking. And so just like he was like, you know what, like I feel like there's going to be several moments in your life where you're going to always wonder what would have been like if I have done this or done that or whatever. It's like, why don't you get off the train with me and explore like Vienna with me just for the day, and you know, and if I'm like psychotic, just get on the next train or something. And it sounds so silly, but just like the sweetest like thing like that, just like taking a leap of faith. And I'm trying to remember how this even fit in. Oh, because I'm just like laying this all out, because the second movie is them reconnecting after not hearing from each other after like 9 years later. And she makes this whole speech about how like it's so hard to like stay in love with people because they're like just not this, like people are ever like changing and evolving, and just this idea that you're supposed to be with one person is just evil. Like,
yeah,
like you are not complete unless you are with somebody is evil. And I'm just like, yes, 100%.
Yeah, definitely. And that's so ingrained in us. Like you need someone to complete you. Like it is so, I don't know, especially I think women and like as little girls, we're told that, you know, you need someone you know, Prince Charming to come save you. And I think the narrative is shifting for younger generations, but I find myself even just like, oh, damn, I definitely like bought into that as a kid and all the Disney magic, you know?
So. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like I've talked about this a lot, but I think it's just the reoccurring theme for me lately. Is this this idea that I don't know, I got kind of jaded there for a minute where I thought, you know, like, I mean, I've had several, like, I don't want to say, I guess several, whatever, it doesn't matter. I've had different types of love in my life where it was more, I don't know, it was more of just like a partnership where, you know, it was like a functional thing. You know, there was some space, but there was also this like emotional intimacy missing. Something was off. And then the very opposite, where it's just this like burning, all consuming, like I ache and just cry over the smallest things over you type of love. But it can be like just so, I don't know. Most of the time, I don't want to say the times it's happened to me, it's end toxically. So I think for a minute I was like jaded, but I feel like I'm finally in like a place where I feel like I have developed my communication skills to actually be able to talk about like things I don't think I would have like a decade ago, you know? And I was like jaded for a minute. I would just say like, you know, like I can't be in love. Love comes at a cost. Like it costs your soul and stuff like that. And I mean, there is some, there is definitely some sort of like compromise that goes into like being in like relationships. But I think it's like investing in the right kind of love for you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's, you know, as we get older, we realize, you know, what we do need. And it's definitely comes with a lot of like heartbreaks and a lot of lessons. But, you know, I don't know. That is interesting, though. I mean, I definitely agree. I've had so many relationships like that. But yeah, it's, and it is, I mean, even when you were saying like, with the character, you're talking about how like you can get off now or you can just always wonder. And in that way, it's kind of torturous if you think about it, like the what ifs, like, oh, like, I mean, and I think most people and myself can apply that to our own lives. Like, what if I did, you know, go out with that person, or what if I did, you know, give that another chance to so-and-so. I think especially now in the age of like social media, where we see like we have the ability to go and like creep on our exes and see what they're doing now, because I think part of, especially, I don't know, maybe women, but like a lot of it with like, you know, oops, sorry. I hope it didn't.
No, you're okay. Good. You're good.
I think a lot of it, you're able to creep and you see sometimes an ex gets their shit together finally. And you see like, oh man, that could have been me. Like that, we could have had a family and blah, blah, blah now. You know, it's, you know, it's like everything is so transparent now that it's easy to kind of get into that like, oh, what if things were different kind of idea. Yeah. Or you never see him again, like on like a train or a bus, you never see him again. And it's still, your mind still just goes back to that, I guess.
Yeah. I like, there's only really one moment in my life where I've kind of wondered about what if. And because I feel pretty solid in, you know, in the majority of my choices and stuff like that, because they've really led me to like where I am now. Like,
yeah,
shit, I never,
I'm the same.
Be here, huh?
I said, yeah, same. I don't have any regrets like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a regret. It's just sort of something that I'll occasionally think about.
Yeah, you wonder.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in another lifetime, I probably, or another dimension, or whatever you, another universe, I definitely followed it up. But it was kind of like one of those, like, threshold moments where years and years ago, like, probably, like, a solid decade ago, I was going through some really rough stuff with one of my, like, long-term exes. And it was a point where I think we were, like, halfway through our relationship or something like that. It was, like, at least a few years in. And it was just this point where I was 50-50. I like didn't really know for sure if I was really wanting to stay or go. This was also towards like the beginning of like my spiritual, like I would say I was a year into my spiritual spiritual discovery, if you will, journey. And so I went to the lake to sit on the beach, and I think I just had like a few hours to kill or something like that before like I gave my friend a ride from work or something like that. And so it was in the morning sometime during the week, I don't even know, like it's just such a blur now. But yeah, I went to the beach and, you know, I just went out and sat on the beach, didn't have like my glasses on or anything like that. I was just there to just sit like half in and out of the water. And I just cried. And I just was like Mother Supreme, Mother Universe, like whatever you like want to be called, like just, if you are there, please tell me what to do. Please show me a significant sign, like be there with me. And I just kind of laid out all of my sorrows, you know, on the beach there. And it was like then that day that I, like looking back, that I realized that when you are sincere in like prayer or, you know, especially when you're on some sort of like threshold like that, it's so meaningful. And yeah. I feel like the universe really does hear you when you're in that kind of like right time, right moment type of thing.
I was gonna say, and even it's interesting, like I think with psychedelics, I think sometimes you see that more, like you see that, like you said, threshold of like whether you're asking for guidance or not, there's some truth that comes through, I feel like, you know, and the same with like prayer or being spiritual and in nature, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So after I had just like finished crying my eyes out and I was just kind of sitting and just like sitting and just the relief of like, just knowing that I'd let it all go. There was another car that had pulled up, you know, a few spaces by me. There's nobody else like at this late. And this, guy, I was kind of just being like aware, as you know, you have to be like a person, just sort of aware of them. And then they had like a guitar that they like took to a table. And they were probably a few years older than me. And then they just quietly just started playing music. And, you know, I don't know what the music was. I just remember, like, just, like, swaying to it at some point and just enjoying the moment for what it was. And I think at some point ended up just, like, I don't even remember, like, apparently just dancing in the water to it. And it was just, like, such a beautiful moment. And at some point the music had stopped, and then I saw he was like walking towards like the outhouse like bathrooms or whatever, and I didn't really think anything of it, but like later on, you know, eventually he had left, and later on I got in my car, and when I went to my car he left me a note, and basically said that it was just like a beautiful moment to be had, He enjoyed like watching me in the like dance in the water, and just it was just like a nice moment.
That's nice.
Yeah, left me their phone number and stuff, and I feel like looking back now, that was definitely a fucking sign from the universe to say like, you, it's time to fucking move on. But I didn't know that at the time. I thought it was just one of those beautiful moments, and I was also trying to be loyal to my boyfriend at the time. So I think I had just messaged him that, like, you know, I appreciated that just little small gesture, but like I was going through something. And, you know, I never did like look back or save it. And I really don't even know what he looks like because I didn't have glasses on or anything like that. So I really, like, I could pass by him in the street and never know who he was. And sometimes I think about that. But ever since that moment, and, you know, breaking up with my ex and stuff like that, it, like, it was, that was the only time the universe sent me a huge message. And I chose to not, like, I chose to ignore it. Instead of, you know, listening.
Yeah, but you didn't completely ignore it if you're still telling the story, you know? You still, I feel like it's still, you still kind of, it's like a, that guy, whether it was meant to be or not, in some ways it was a little blessing of like knowing that you aren't alone and there are good people out there. And I know what you mean, like, though, like, you know, like kind of wonder, but I don't know. I don't think you didn't completely take advantage of the situation. You know, you you still got something out of it.
Honestly, like you just saying that makes me almost cry right now.
Aww.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, but I think that gives, I think it's really easy to kind of lose faith in people and, you know, you go and have a moment to yourself and it kind of shows you like, hey, like, there are good people out there and, you know, it's a nice reminder, you know, whether, you know, you don't, you ever see him again or not. It's, I think whoever he is would be happy to know that you still like appreciate that moment, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry.
Yeah, that got really heavy.
No, I know though, like I've had situations like that where, you know, I remember I was sitting in a parking lot. I don't remember what I was. I think I was waiting. I was going to like go home. I was waiting on something. I was going to meet someone, but I wasn't sure. And this girl just came up to my car and I'm like, oh, what's going on? Like, of course our mind goes like, oh, she wants something. And you know, but she just like gave me a flower and she's like, here you go. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, she's like, have a good day. And I'm like, I will. Thank you. And I like got really teary eyed and all that. But, you know, sometimes I'll randomly be like, I wonder where that girl is now. And I hope she knows that she made my day. So I don't know. It's nice, though. That's a nice story.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any like lasting stories or questions for me before we wrap up?
Well, I was thinking, even if I know we kind of got onto like tarot and stuff, but with the psychedelics, I also was going to mention that it can be kind of, I've had some weird experiences because, I've taken like antidepressants and it's really weird. Like the tolerance and how people like feel it is very different. And I think that's, I don't know, something good to mention and maybe talk about for other people to know, especially if you're talking about like dosage. Because there's been times, like the first time I ever tried acid, you know, it was a very small amount. My friend and I split just a small amount and it was beautiful. We were camping. It was just a beautiful time. We had these hammocks set up. And my friend's like talking about like seeing Jesus and stuff in the trees. And I'm like, man, I don't feel anything. I mean, I felt a little maybe body high, but I think it is interesting to kind of take that into account because for some reason, I think, I know I've gone down a rabbit hole of like research and something with the SSRIs, the serotonin and receptors, something in the brain. It doesn't like seem to work as much, or you need a higher dose. And I think that was also part of the reason why when I had that bad trip, I'm so used to things not working for me that when it did, I was like, holy shit, you know? But yeah, I think it's good to, I mean, take an account if you ever do, for anyone who, you know, would be looking into trying something new, who might be on any kind of antidepressants, that just to know that sometimes it doesn't work, you know? And I've experienced that many times. So, you know, it's always interesting to kind of have this body high and just to see how your friends are feeling. But mm-hmm. I think for a while I was kind of like, what's, you know, is it me or what's going on?
Yeah. Honestly, so. I feel like that's a really good thing to mention. Mm-hmm. Because like in herbal school, there are like several plants that like you have to take into consideration when it comes to like contraindications. And one of those being like, you know, plants that you would use to help treat, maybe treat is not the right word.
Mm-hmm.
Something to help with like your anxiety or depression. So something like St. John's wort, like you definitely don't want to be on an SSRI for that.
Yeah.
Because it can almost act as like its own type of.
Mm-hmm. Like,
but yeah, I think that is a really good thing to mention.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, and with my own experiences and even with the ketamine, like just, you know, I did a good amount of research before I decided to do that. And I just think it's really fascinating. And I'd like to share also, it applies for ketamine and also other psychedelics, just this, metaphor that really helped me understand how it can help mental health. Was somebody told me that it's kind of like if you ever like gone sledding as a kid, like basically you know how you go sledding and there's already grooves in the snow that, you know, you already, whether someone else went sledding before you, you kind of tend to go into that groove that's already there.
Yeah.
You know, from other sledders or yourself already gone down that pathway, you know, of least resistance. Someone described psychedelics as kind of like a fresh layer of snow. So when we have, especially like depression, anxiety, we tend to go to those bad thoughts. Our bad thoughts is that, you know, pathway. That's mm-hmm. our automatic go-to is like, oh, I'm stupid, whatever, you know, negative self-talk. But the psychedelics or ketamine or whatever gives like a fresh layer of snow on top of it. So you're least likely to kind of go into that pathway, which I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like it is true. I mean, I've felt a lot of like self-compassion and forgiveness for myself just by experiencing these things. So I think it's, although, you know, mental health itself has a stigma, psychedelics have a stigma, a lot of it is still, a lot of it is like misunderstood by people. But I think there's a lot of grace and there's a lot of, I feel hope, I guess, since discovering a lot of this stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I think if someone is ever considering things like this to definitely, you know, I don't know, to know that there is some hope out there. And yes, this is still a new, it's still relatively new with, you know, the mental health aspect of, you know, what we know, but I think it's definitely worth looking into, and maybe not for everyone, but I know it's helped me.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I love that. But yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That was all I was going to say. I was just, yeah.
That was beautiful. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. I had so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, let's chat soon.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Have a good one. Bye.